Well, it's 7 o'clock. We'll start on time. Good evening. You're very, very welcome to Ballygilbert this evening for our Christmas Eve carol service. We're not sure if we're the only show in town tonight. A lot of carol services were last week, lightweights. Some had theirs last night, I heard, Saturday night. We are staying true to ourselves, having a Christmas Eve carol service. You're very welcome to stay afterwards as well for some shortbread and a cup of tea. If you don't have to rush off and wrap presents, do linger with us. We'd love to spend some time with you. But you're very, very welcome. We are back next Sunday, 11 a.m. That's going to be something a little bit different. It's an elder-led service. Elders will be taking us through some prayer and some praise, shorter service to finish out the year, but something a little bit different. So do come for that. We're also back here tomorrow morning, 10:30. Just to celebrate the day together, we have a Christmas jumper competition as well, very fiercely fought. We'll try and find out who got up the earliest as well. There's a record to be broken there. And we'll sing a few carols and have a few Christmas thoughts before we spend the rest of the day with our families. I want to thank tonight a few people. Helen and the choir work incredibly hard. They stay after church on Sundays and they practice and get ready for these things. It's really all taken care of and we're indebted to them. We really appreciate all the hard work that goes into it. And to Ivan, who's playing for us tonight, Ivan always plays beautifully and we appreciate him helping out as well. No pressure, Ivan. I just want to say as well, a thank you from the family in the manse. We've had loads of cards and gifts from you in the run-up to Christmas this year. We're always touched by that. We don't expect that from you, but we really do appreciate your kindness to us and your prayers and your encouragement for this past year. It's really meant a lot. We don't do any of this on our own strength. We really do appreciate it. So Merry Christmas from us. Our service will run largely unannounced. I'm going to introduce our readers tonight. They're from different organizations that live and operate around the church. I'll introduce them to you as we go. But apart from that, we'll be standing and singing and listening and doing all the usual things. So just keep an eye on your running order. Why don't we pray before we begin? Father, we realize that we need you. Perhaps this Christmas time is the time when we realize that the most. When the world is so difficult, when it's a tough place to live, when there are things that we worry about even in our own lives, we realize just how much we need you. And of course, you are our hope at this time of year and throughout the years. You've given us everything in your Son. He is our confidence. He is the birth that has truly changed this world. And so, Father, tonight we will bring you praise. We will sing our songs of Jesus. We will read of him in the Old and New Testaments. And we will follow the journey to Bethlehem. Father, it's in that most unlikely of places that you chose to come and be one of us, that we might be with you. And Father, that is just beyond us. Father, that's a scandal that people like us can live with you. And yet that is our truth. That is the gospel, the good news that we cling to this time of year. So Father, tonight as we sing our carols, as we hear your word read, as we spend time encouraging one another, we pray that we'd be blessed. Not because we're good, not because we're faithful or we deserve anything from you, but because you're good and you are faithful and you give us grace upon grace. Father, we ask these things not on our own, but in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Choir are going to start us off with It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
Yeah.
Well, Isaiah writes of the virgin birth in chapter 7. He says this, "Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, 'Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights.' But Ahaz said, 'I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test.' But then Isaiah said, 'Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid to waste." Sings in our choir, looks after our junior choir as well. She's going to come and read to us Isaiah 9, 2 to 7.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of deep darkness. A light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you, and people rejoice at the harvest, and the warriors rejoice when divided the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the road of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in a battle and every garment rolled in blood will be distinct from burning, will be fueled for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Well, we have a vibrant junior and senior badminton club here at Ballygilbert, and one of the most ferocious players on the court is Vicky McLaughlin. She's going to come and read to us from Micah 5, 2 to 5. Vicky.
But you, Bethlehem, for Alpha, though you're small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me, one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortresses.
Thank you.
gospel. Lily Bell's one of our members of our youth club here at Ballygilbert. She's going to come and read to us from Luke chapter 1, Gabriel's visit to Mary.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God."
Well, Katie Armstrong is one of our members here at Ballygilbert and also a regular at our toddler group on Thursday mornings. She's going to come and read to us Matthew 1, 18 to 25. Matthew tells of the birth. Hi, Katie.
This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
We're blessed in Ballygilbert with a wise and clever and patient session. Don't tell them I told you that. Vivian Vance is one of our elders. She's going to come and read to us from Luke chapter 2, 1 to 7, which is Luke's prediction of the birth. Vivian.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
Thank you.
Well, Rachel Lyles, one of our junior leaders, she's representing the Rainbows and the Brownies and the Guides and the Rangers who meet here on Thursday nights. Rachel's going to come and tell us about the shepherds from Luke chapter 2.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
Jean Patton heads up our women's ministries here in Ballygilbert. She also keeps the wheels on the bus for the mission group, and she's going to come and read to us about the wise men from the east in Matthew 2.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and seek carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son."
Now the holy man.
Well, John's gospel has a different view of these things. He says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Father, we have heard much this evening, and we have heard the announcement of many women of the gospel of the coming of your Son, just as at the end of his life, he would send the women to pronounce that he is risen. Father, it's easy for us to sit here at a carol service on Christmas Eve and feel sentimental. And yet all of this is true. Father, we pray that what we've heard, what we've sung, what we've listened to, would penetrate deep into our hearts, that we might be changed by your word, a word which you promise will not return to you empty. Father, we ask for that, that even in a little bit, we would change to be more like your Son. That is beyond us, Father, but nothing is beyond you. We've heard that tonight too. You have moved and maneuvered kings and rulers and the events of history to bring your Son to us at the right time. Now, that is a wonder. It is the source of our joy this evening. And we pray that it would also be the hope of our future. So, Father, we are a thankful people tonight for all kinds of things, but thankful most of all for Jesus. And we pray in his lovely name. Amen. O come, all ye faithful. So may the God whose affection never cools, whose attention never wavers, whose arm never relaxes, and whose grace never fails, rescue you and bring you safely into his heavenly kingdom. Amen. Folks, do grab a quick seat. I think we should probably thank our readers for tonight. They did a great job for us, taking us through the story. Thanks to Helen and the choir in great voice tonight. We really appreciated you this evening. And Ivan was really good. Folks, I know it's Christmas Eve. If you're rushing off, that's okay. Please take care getting out on the road and getting home and have a Merry Christmas. If you can stay for a cup of tea or coffee and a shortbread, please do. That's in the hall behind me. We'll move this out of the way. You can scooch past me in a moment or two. The last thing, we're having a retiring offering this evening, as we do every year. That is for the Presbyterian Children's Society. So we'll leave our baskets by the door. If you want to give something to that good cause, then please do. But for now, Merry Christmas.